All right, tonight, once again, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we will once again be in a portion of scripture that we used this morning, and just sort of, I guess, have part two. We're dealing with the program or the things that God has given to us in connection of sending the gospel. That song we just did, Send the Light, the Glorious Light, and may we be guilty of doing that we would send that light. And tonight we will once again look into 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I think we got about halfway through this morning some of the things that I wanted to give. And so we'll sort of finish up tonight. The Lord has given us a message that we have, and it's the message that every missionary church is to proclaim, and that we are to have the story of giving the gospel. And we know that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's definition in a nutshell. There's many facets to the gospel. There's many things that can be connected with the gospel. But when you're talking about the gospel, to preach it in its purity and completeness, we preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. That was Paul's message, and that is our message. And so that's the message of missions. If a missionary goes and does anything else, then he's not a true missionary as far as the Scripture is concerned. If he has other things that's more important to him than the message, then he has had his priorities wrong and needs to get those straight. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is talking about, he says, "Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." So Paul tells the Corinthian church, he said, "I'm preaching to you the gospel," and he said, "You have received that, now you stand in that." And he says, "Also, ye are saved." And then he says, "Keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." And then Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And so what Paul is doing to the for the Corinthian people, it's something that he's received in his heart, and that's the gospel. That's the message that we have. He said, "I delivered to you first of all which I've also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how that he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture." So our gospel is according to the Word of God. It's according to the message that He has preserved and given to us. And our missionaries are under the understanding that they are to preach the gospel. That's why they're going. That's the main thrust of wherever they may go. I get letters from them every month, some of them every other month, some of them every quarter. We get missionaries or letters from our missionaries, and tells us just some of the activities that's gone on, some of the things that takes place there on the mission field. Brother Solomon, one of our missionaries that bases out of here, he sends out a letter every other month telling his supporting churches what he's doing and the progress that's being made, and sometimes even the battles that have to be fought. And so it's a communication between missionary and church. And the church, it communicates with the missionary as we give unto them and help them to stay and maintain them on the field so they can preach that message of missions. We are mandated of the Lord to do that. We are under command of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, every one of the Gospels has an account. It varies a little bit and the wording is a little different. And each one of the gospel accounts, and also in the book of Acts, gives us the story, or gives us the mandate or the command that we are to go into all the world. Matthew 28:18, that's the primary verses many times that we think of and use. Because the Bible says, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." There's the commission that the Lord gives to the to the church to go into all the world to preach the gospel and then to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15 reads like this: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we are under a mandate from the Lord that we're to go into all the world and preach that message and follow the command that He gives. In Luke 24, it says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. In John's account, as Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so there's the commission that we are to go into the world and preach the gospel. That's the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then when you come to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You should receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea," or in all Judea, and in Samaria, "and to the uttermost part of the earth." And so there's the commission given in the book of Acts, that we are to go under the instrument and under the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the message and there's the mandate. And there's a motivation, because one day we're all going to stand before the Lord. We're going to stand before Him and give an account of those things done in our body and how that we served the Lord or how we had lack of service. Motivation for missions, because it's not a very popular thing now. It's not a very orchestrated anymore as it used to be, and it's not as popular maybe as has been in days gone by. Some of the thrill of missions has maybe left our generations because we've left some things of the Word of God. But we should be motivated for missions, because there's not a whole lot of workers. There's not a lot doing what God tells us to do. There's not a lot of churches. If you take all the churches in the United States, there's very few that are doing what needs to be done to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. We are associated with a number of them, but I'm talking nationwide. Many, many churches are not dealing with this, and so there becomes a lack of workers. Jesus Himself said in Matthew, He says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." That was even in Jesus' day. And the laborers were few, and the time is, we understand, is short. We're not going to be here forever. The world's not going to stand forever. And so what we do, we need to do quickly. The Lord told His disciples also, He said, "Yet there's 4 months into harvest. You think you have 4 months?" He said, "But I tell you that the harvest is ready now. It's plenteous. It's white unto harvest." And so the thing of missions is very important in the work of the local New Testament church. This morning, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we sort of made a contrast, almost said comparison, but there are very few. There's a contrast between those churches of Macedonia and that how they served the Lord. Some of them were very poor. Some of them were very, very stressed on how to get the work of the Lord done. And then some of them had many, many things and much things, and they really didn't care. We compared, contrasted the poverty churches of Macedonia to the one church that we know of that was pretty well off, and that's Laodicea, found in the book of the Revelation. And so we made that contrast and pretty well finished up the things that are said in Revelation. But the Scripture tells us, as we read down, I believe, through verse number 5 or 6 this morning, and want to look here that this program that God has. And we touched on some of these things this morning. But there is a program that God has for us to get the gospel out, and how that He gives us the means whereby we can do that, even out of dire poverty and much poverty, as the Scripture says, deep poverty there in verse number 2. Now, we're not going to go back and read or go over those things that we did this morning, but I want to pick up in verse number 7, and we'll read down through verse number 15. Verse 1 through 6, Paul is giving us some things about missions and their poverty, and we see the paradox there. They have affliction, but yet they have joy. They have poverty, but yet they are called rich, and how that the power that they had was the power to give beyond their means. Now, verse number 7, therefore. That little word, therefore, is a connecting word. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He said, now you continue and you make sure you abound in these things that were dealt with there in verses 1 through 6. He says in verse number 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And therein, and herein I give my advice, and that is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but to also to be forward in a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if ye be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath is not according to what he hath not. For I mean not as other men be eased and ye burdened, but by your equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little hath no lack. So Paul is continuing on in this passage concerning the giving and receiving of what we would call finances for the missionary. He tells us in verse 1 God has bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. That word bestowed means God's given them a gift that they have ability to preach the gospel. What a wonderful thing it is to have the ability to preach the gospel. What a great thing it is that we have the understanding, we have the knowledge, we have the scriptures before us, that we know that we have been bestowed to be able to preach, and the gift of God and the grace of God. He deals with their poverty, as we mentioned this morning. He says, now therefore, as ye abound, here in verse number 7, he says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What was that grace he's talking about? The grace of giving. The grace of being able to supply. Verse number 8, Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, verse number 7-8, we come down to the proof that is given here to us that if we really love the Lord, then we're going to prove we love the Lord. If we love missions, then we will prove that we love missions. If we love missionaries and their families, my, there's been, in these years that we've been here, there's been multiple families that have come through here. Many of them, we remember some things that they did, some things they said. Sometimes we remember the children they had and the activities that they had with us. And we become a group of people that remember those, and therefore the proof of our love for them is in that which we give to enable them to go around the world. Now, it costs a missionary just as much to drive across this country as it does you and I. It costs a missionary just as much to get an airplane, fly to whatever country it might be, as it would to you and I. They don't give missionary credits, and they don't give them breaks, and they don't have any special rewards just because they're taking the gospel. They have the same financial problem sometimes as we do. And so Paul tells the church here of Corinth, he said that you have this in your heart, that you should abound in not only faith and utterance and knowledge, but also in your love to us, that ye may abound in this grace also, that you might have the same abounding as others would have. The giving was a proof of their love, the proving of the things of the Lord. And verse 8 uses that word, prove the sincerity of your love. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to do. It's one thing to tell someone, I love you, I appreciate your ministry. But it's another thing to get behind them and to support their ministry and to work with them in accordance to become a part of their ministry as they become a part of our church's ministry. Sometimes we, as a church, supports individuals, and sometimes there are families that just take on a missionary and will support them directly and help them. And you've become a part of their livelihood. You've become a part of their ministry. And Paul said, he uses the word prove. Prove the sincerity of your love. Prove the realness. Prove the knowledge and the giving out to them that you really do care about if they eat or if they are able to buy what they need and take care of their needs. And somebody said, well, I've known some missionaries and they just sort of took me for a ride. Well, I've known some people that do that too. But we ought not be down on everybody just because one or two are bad and one or two don't do what they should do. And Paul says here that we ought to prove our sincerity. Now, the church of Laodicea didn't prove anything. They was rich and had need of nothing. They didn't care about anybody else. They had their riches. They had their own understanding. And the Lord says, y'all, but you may think you're rich, but you're in poverty. You may think you have a lot, but you're really naked before God and you're works stand out before you, and they had no proof that they loved anything except themselves. The church of Laodicea is the church in the book of Revelation, that last church that's mentioned, and the Lord says not one good thing about them. He doesn't commend them for anything. He doesn't say you're doing a good job. He doesn't say you've been faithful. All these other churches, these other six that are mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3, he says something good about their faithfulness, their works, their deeds, their activities. But when it comes to Laodicea, he doesn't say anything good about them. He only has the negative to say because they were not sincere in their proof of what so-called was love for others. And so Paul tells, now he's writing to a Corinth church here. We studied the poor churches, primarily Thessalonica this morning, there of Macedonia. Now but here he's writing to those churches. Verse 1 tells us there in verse 8 that he is writing to about the grace of God to bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And Corinth was one of those. And so we find that the Lord says you just need to prove your sincerity. You need to make sure not only what you say, but do what you let your deeds be behind your words, and I'm glad we can do that by being able to support and to be able to help missionaries around our country and around this world. We have families here in the States that are doing certain things that are needed. We have missions that print Bibles. We have missions that help weak churches. And whether we support that particular thing or not, there are missionaries all across this country doing certain things, and there are churches behind them that are proving their love and their sincerity. And then, of course, we have our missions around to the far corners of this world. You come to verse number 9, he says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Here he's using the word poverty again. This morning he was talking about deep poverty of the churches. Now he's talking about the riches of the Lord. He's talking about the pattern of missions is that it's all about Jesus Christ and what he did. He gives us a great example here of a missionary giving. Here we find the Bible says that Jesus, who was rich, became poor. He had everything at his disposal, the Son of God. He created it all. It all belonged to him. But yet he turned away from that and he came to this earth and he was born not in a rich family, not in a family that had everything. He wasn't born in a Laodicean church type family. He was born in poverty. And so here Paul tells them that the example or the pattern of missions is that Jesus came and his giving was that he was rich, but he became poor. Thank God tonight he became an individual that was touched, the Bible says, with every infirmity of the flesh and every problem that comes. There's not a thing that comes to me, there's not a problem that comes to you that was not handled by Jesus Christ. He was touched in all points like you and I. And the Bible says, yet without sin. He was tempted on every way, tempted every possible way, but yet he did not succumb to that. And the example here is that he was rich and he became poor. And the reason for doing that is that we that are poor might become rich. I'd sort of like the trade that he gives to me. He was rich and became poor. I was poor and he makes me rich. And so that's pretty good, a pretty good standing. And that's the pattern that God gives to us, that we preach the gospel to the needy, the poor, the unknowledgeable of the church and of the scriptures. They're poor as far as spiritual needs. They're in poverty in their life, not only in goods of life, but they're in poverty as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as the Word of God is concerned. They're in poverty. They do not have. We mentioned last Sunday that there's a multitude of people in this world that's never handled, never carried, never touched a copy of the Word of God. What a shame that is. A tragedy that is that there's people in this world that have never had the opportunity to read John 3:16 in their language. And so Jesus had it all and gave it up that I might have it all. He gave up his riches and he became poor and died as a sinner. He died as a common criminal, common thief, and he died between two thieves, but yet in his dying, he makes it possible that I could become rich like him. We are called the sons of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means we share pretty equally in the things that God has given. And what Jesus had, one day I shall have. What Jesus left behind, one day I'll occupy. What Jesus left, I'll be able to take a hold of it because he left it that I might have the riches of glory. And that's what we do when we preach the gospel to the Chinese, the Japanese, the Korean, the Brazilian, whoever, whatever country, whatever ethnic group you want to think of. Jesus came to save sinners. And he came to save those that were lost. And Brother Gallagher dealt with that subject this morning, that Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." Paul has put himself up there as a chief sinner. And I sort of enjoyed what was said this morning about that word chief. I looked it up in Strong's, and it can mean that the leader of all those that are following after. And so we find that Paul puts himself there as a chief of sinners. And Jesus came to this world to die for sinners. And that includes all of us. every person in this auditorium tonight, every person in our county, every person in our state, every person in our country, every person living upon the face of this planet called Earth, Jesus died for the sinner. And that's all of them. Hasn't been too long ago that we dealt with the subject matter that we have population of this world has reached 7 billion people. We are told now just a little more than a year after that, we are at 7.5 billion people. The farther we go, the faster it adds up. And I'm glad tonight I can declare to this whole world that Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. He became poor that they might have the riches of the glory. But they must hear the gospel. They must hear the message. They must hear the story of salvation. In verse number 10, Paul says here, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. He uses a word there, expedient. It means the performance. He said, it's good for you to do that. It's good for us to be involved in ministry. It's good for us. Paul says, expedient for you there in verse number 10. And he says, who have begun before, not only to do, but also be forward a year ago. Said you've been doing this for some time now. It's expedient. Now therefore perform the doing of this. The performance of missions. The performance of going into a world that is in darkness. A world that is in not only physical disease, but they're in spiritual destruction. And they're going to die without the Lord. So it's expedient. It's good for us that if we perform that giving and that planning to give and that performance of giving. He talks about how they've done it for now a year. And he said it's expedient that you continue on and continue to do that. I guess this church has been in faith promise ever since it began. Year after year. 45 years now, the church has, 46 years now, the church has performed the obligation or the mandate that we preach the gospel. We can't go to all those places, but we sure can send and we can be involved in ministry, and it's expedient for us to do that. It's good for us to do that. It's a good thing to be involved in the work of the Lord. That's the performance. He talks about in verse number 14, equality. That's partnership. That's being walking hand in hand, arm in arm. The equality that we have. We give to the necessities of men and families, and when they need it, we give. When we need things, God gives to us, and God blesses us. That's that partnership that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's good for us in that equality that the Lord has set up here in verse number 14. He says, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want. He's talking to the Corinthian church. He said, what you have laid up in treasure now for this year, it is for their supply. It is your abundance, but it's for them. I'm glad we can do that week by week, month by month. That we can lay up and every month or so, Brother Don writes a check to our missionaries and we send it to their church or their mission board. We tell them we're still with you. We're still desiring. We're wanting to give of our abundance and to be supplied unto you. And when we do that, we are partnering with them. We hear that term quite a bit from missionaries. Would you partner with us? And that's what it is. It's a partnership. They go, we send. We give, they go. And as they go proclaiming. And they go preaching the Lord Jesus Christ that we talked about a moment ago that was rich and became poor. So we're in a partnership, not only with a missionary, but we're in partnership with the Lord. He's the prime example of a missionary. He came. He's the prime example. He gave up. We sometimes talk about missionaries that many of them have given up to do certain things, and I know the terminology sometimes maybe isn't right, but we think in that manner that they have given up their home, they've given up their lifestyle, they've given up most time their jobs, and they go out on the road and they come to churches like this one and they ask us to partner with them. The fellow that would have come this morning, he would have asked us to do that. The family that's coming next Sunday and the next two Sundays after that, that's why they're here. They're here that we might get acquainted with them, that we might know their needs, and then as the Lord supplies and the Lord leads, we partner with them and we help them. How many times we've taken up special offerings for a missionary because they had a special need. They have their monthly support that comes in, but they're like everybody else's family. It's those unknown things that happen that sort of throws us for a loop. It's those broken down cars that maybe is hard to get fixed because we don't have anything budgeted for that. It's at our home when in the midst of summer the air conditioner goes down. We don't have the money, but we're burning up and we're going to fix it one way or another. That they have the same needs that we have. And as a partner with them, many times we help them take care of special needs. And that's exactly what Paul is writing here to this church. He said, "You have for this year gotten these things together. Now it's time to provide. It's time to send. It's time to take your abundance and give to their need and to supply for them." Verse 14, and that makes it equal. We're equal partners together in the work of the Lord, that ye may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And so that's the partnership that we have. I remember a missionary that came here years ago, and he preached two messages, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I would give anything if I had the notes. I'd give anything if I had a copy I don't think we even recorded it. It's been many years ago. And I called him one time and asked him if he had those notes. And he said, "Well, no, not really." He said, I don't keep up with everything maybe like I should. But I would love to have had the notes where he preached on the duty of the church to the missionary. And then Sunday night, he preached on the duty of the missionary to the church. Two good messages on this partnership. That was Brother Roland Simeonson that preached that. We have supported him for 40 years, I guess. That partnership, that equality, what the church does for the missionary, what the missionary does for the church. And that's what Paul is writing here in 2 Corinthians. And then in this last verse, we find here the promise that is given. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Equality. And so we find here God meets the need of his missionaries. God meets the need of his children. God meets the need of his churches. God is the one that is able to supply every need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6, and with this we'll close. Just over on same page in your Bible probably. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There's the principle of missions and giving. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Don't ever give grudgingly. Well, I guess I have to do it again. No, no. You're not going to have a blessing when you do that. You're not going to have the honor of the Lord when that grudge comes in. And so every man according as he has purposed in his heart. It's your decision. It's not my decision what you do. It's not your decision what I do. But every man as he purposes in his heart or determines in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able. Well, praise the Lord. Verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. God is able. I guess that'd be bottom line tonight. What can Grace Baptist Church do? Anything God lays on our heart to do because he's able to supply. That's the work of missions. That's the work of going around the world preaching the gospel. That's the promise of missions. So if we should take all these verses tonight, and I didn't give you the outline, I just sort of compared this morning those churches, but all these things in chapter number 8, is God's program for missions. How God laid it out, and he has promised that I can take care of it. Bottom last thing, God is able. He said, when you purpose in your heart, just do it. When God lays something on your heart, just do it. Don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it out of necessity. You're doing it because you want to. That's purposing in your heart. That's you speaking to yourself and say, well, I believe the Lord would have me do this. I believe the Lord's laying this on my heart. If you do that, then just, if you've purposed in your heart to do it, then do it not grudgingly. Don't do it out of necessity. Do it because you desire the wonderful blessing that comes from the Lord because he's able to meet every need that we have. As a missionary travels, God meets his need. As we stay at home, God meets our need. God is able. Praise the Lord tonight for the ability of our God. And these verses today and this morning and tonight, I hope maybe just sort of sets the thought for this month. I didn't know I was going to have to be doing this, but I've enjoyed just thinking about getting our hearts and our minds set upon the necessity of the mission of going into all the world, the mandate that we are to go, and the reason we go is because one day we're going to stand before God and give an account to him. Let's stand together tonight.